God's glory. So at the beginning of the chapter, we saw God call Moses back up to the mountain and not, again ask for God's presence as they traveled to the promised land, but then making that very amazing request that he be allowed to see God's glory. And God gave him a glimpse, remember, put him in the cave, and we even sing that hymn about in the cleft of the rock. And so God allowed him to hear and get a glimpse of God. But then God proclaimed at that time his own character, if you will. And those two verses, verses 6 and 7, probably more than any other two verses in the Old Testament, declare the character of God. Remember, we saw there he's merciful, gracious, long-suffering. He's good. He's true. And he is just. All of that just in those two verses. He's faithful. And then God said, okay, I will go with you. I'm going to make a covenant with you there starting in verse 10. And I'm going to, my covenant has everything to do with obedience, which most of his covenants do. And if you will be obedient, then I will go with you and I will bless you when you go into the promised land. And then here at the end of the chapter, we see Moses coming back down. Verse 29 is where we'll start tonight. It came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in the commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until they came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. So Moses' face shone. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight and that you would speak to our hearts about this matter of spending time in your presence. And we are grateful that we can walk through these books and learn so much. And may tonight be one of those times, Lord, when you truly speak to our hearts. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Just a couple things I want to point out in this passage tonight. Verse 29, it says, he wist not. That means Moses actually wasn't aware that his face was shining. Now, a lot of times when we've seen paintings and pictures of people in the past or of angels, we see a halo around their head. They probably get it from this passage. But nowhere in the scriptures do we hear about an angel having a halo. But we do read that Moses' face, when he came down after spending 40 days and 40 nights with God on the Mount Sinai, when he came down from the mount, his face was shining. But he didn't know it. Why is that important? Well, if you go to Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, we find out that Moses was a very meek man. This is probably what made him such a great leader. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses' face was shining because he had spent so much time in the presence of God. 40 days and 40 nights, solid with God and no one else, in the presence of God. And yet he didn't know. And that is one of the true signs of a spiritual Christian, is that they don't know they're spiritual and they don't believe that they're spiritual. That's the beginning, isn't it? Is that humility. If a person believes they're spiritual, they're not spiritual because there's pride. And Moses didn't come down and say, look at me, I spent 40 days and 40 nights with God. I'm special now. No, he didn't even know that his face was shining. And that's a very important thing for us to understand. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. In other words, there's always more to learn. There's always more growing to do as Christians. And spiritual Christians never tell people they're spiritual. They actually believe the opposite, that they're not spiritual, that they have a lot of growing to do, that they need to get closer to God, which is one of the things that makes us spiritual, is when we're not believing that we're spiritual. Do you understand what I'm saying? Moses didn't believe that he was better or closer to God in any way, but because he had spent so much time with God, he literally got changed by it. And the same is true for you and me. The more that we will spend time with God, the more we will be like God. We're told in the Bible that we're to bear the fruit of the Spirit, right? Well, we can't do that unless we're yielded to the Spirit, which is one of the earmarks of a spiritual Christian, is someone who bears the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So this we'll call it spirituality, but this what Moses experienced is not something that we can pray for. That's what I'm trying to say. We can't come to God and say, Lord, I want to be like Moses and I want my face to shine with your glory. Because if you're going to ask for it, then you're definitely not going to get it. You understand? Because that's a pride thing. If you want your face to shine like Moses' face, then it's already too late. But if instead your desire is to be closer to God and to spend more time with God, God will take care of the rest. Amen. God will make you more spiritual. God will make you more like Christ because you're spending more time with him. This is another way, by the way, that Moses is a type of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Because when we immediately think of the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, when Jesus took the inner three up to the mount, and what happened? But he was transformed before them, and he glowed with a light as bright as the sun, the Bible says. And so in that way, Moses is again more like Jesus. But when we come to the New Testament, let's look at Acts 4. We find some glimpses of what God wants from us as we reflect upon Moses coming down from the mountain, literally changed in a physical way by spending so much time with God. We come to the book of Acts and we find that the same thing happened to the disciples. Notice Acts 4:13. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Now remember, Peter and John were partners in what? Fishing. Unlearned and ignorant men. These aren't college graduates. These aren't guys that can speak multiple languages. These are guys that fished for a living, which is a necessity, obviously. People need meat. But they were what you would call blue-collar workers, right? People that just got out there and labored for their food on their table. And the perception of them from the Jews was that they were unlearned and ignorant. But it says that they marveled. They marveled at Peter and John and said, something is really different about these guys. They're unlearned and they're ignorant, but something's different. They marveled and said they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus changed them. Amen? And it should change us. So we need to spend more time with him so that we can be more like him. Now there's another example in Acts chapter 6, verse 15. This wasn't one of the disciples, but it was one of the first deacons. His name was Stephen. He was such a good deacon that he got stoned to death. So now we know, if you're a really good deacon, you'll die for the Lord. Amen? But as he was preaching here in Acts chapter 6, something happened. And Stephen didn't know this happened. Okay, Stephen wasn't asking for it. Stephen was just serving the Lord and taking an opportunity to preach to these Jews. Here in Acts 6, verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. What happened? What happened to Stephen? He was changed. He was changed because he had spent time with God. When you read back at Stephen, he was a spiritual man. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord. He couldn't wait to get out and start preaching. He had the shortest tenure as a deacon in the Bible, because at the end of the chapter, he gets stoned to death and goes to heaven. And as he goes to heaven, at the end of chapter 7, look at the last thing he said, verse 59 of chapter 7. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. His last words. Sound familiar? Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, on his way to heaven, being stoned to death, says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And so we see the disciples, we see Stephen changed by what? Spending time with God, which is what we see in Moses' life. If you go to Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul, all he wanted was to be more like Jesus. And that should be our desire too, to be more like Jesus. The Bible says, he that saith he abideth in him, 1 John 2:6, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, to be like Jesus. Paul says here in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. Amen? He's not talking in a salvation sense here, is he? He's writing to Christians. He's a Christian. He doesn't mean that I may know him for salvation. He's saying that I may know him more, that I may know him better, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know Jesus more. I want to know Jesus so much that I understand the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may know him. And God commands us in 2 Peter 3:18 to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That can only happen if we spend more time with him. Our face isn't going to shine, but we will be changed, and we will be more like Christ. And this is a theme of Scripture, amen, that we spend more time with God. One of my favorites is Psalms 55:17. Let's turn there. And then we'll look at some New Testament verses. But God desires time with his children. Let us never forget why God originally made us. We find that out by looking at the Garden of Eden. God made us not for his amusement, but for fellowship. Because we look in the garden before the fall, God came down every day and spent time fellowshipping with Adam in the cool of the day. Every day they would spend time just fellowshipping. And what did God restore to us through Calvary but fellowship? Now we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace. So Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. That's a good starting point, isn't it? At least three times a day, we should set aside to spend time with God. Jesus said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Romans 12:12, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We could keep going, couldn't we? It's a theme all through Scripture that we need to spend more time with God. So that's the first thing we see here, is if we will spend more time with God, we will be more like God, which is his ultimate desire for us as his children, that we be more like him. But it's not something that we can just turn on a switch and he fills us with being more like him, we've got to spend more time with him. And it rubs off on us, amen, just like it did on Moses. So that's the first thing we see, but something interesting happened. The second thing we see in verse 30, and that is that the people were afraid. You would expect instead that they would be thrilled. Our leader is shining. Our leader has gotten closer to God. But that wasn't their reaction, was it? It says in verse 30, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll see it again, but as you turn there, what this shows us is the closer you get to God, and this is something that happens naturally, it's not something that we force, but the closer that you get to God and the more that you're like God, the less people who are not spiritual want to be around you. That's the reality. Now, we know that happens with the unsaved. When we first got saved and all of a sudden our friends dropped off, we didn't chase them away, did we? What happened? Why don't they want to be our friend anymore? Because just being around them convicts them. Because now we love Jesus. Now we know we're going to heaven. Now we believe in salvation through Jesus Christ. And they just start dropping like flies. But even further than that, many Christians really would rather not be around fully consecrated Christians. They'd rather be around lukewarm Christians because they're lukewarm. And it makes them feel more comfortable. Does that make sense? So here in 2 Corinthians 3, look at verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, and look down to verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. His glowing face represented God's law, represented God's righteousness, represented God's holiness. That made them uncomfortable. To the point that Moses had to put a veil on his face so that when he talked to the people, they weren't scared. And God's righteousness and God's holiness always makes people uncomfortable. It definitely makes the unsaved uncomfortable, but it also makes lukewarm Christians uncomfortable. Because lukewarm Christians, they don't want to talk about spiritual things. They want to talk about worldly things, don't they? And then, so you get with them and you just want to talk about God and His Word and how wonderful Jesus is. And it's like, I'd rather go talk to somebody else. So two things here. We see the importance of spending more time with God so we'll be more like God. But don't be surprised if it happens and you can't force it to happen and you can't ask for it to happen. But if you do become more like God, don't be surprised if you might lose even some of your Christian friends. And that's okay. They all have to, everybody has to grow in their own pace, if you will. And so when he went to see God, of course, verse 34, he took the veil off. Amen. And as we see here, the veil had a second meaning from 2 Corinthians 3, that the law of God and the righteousness of God was a line in the sand for God's people, wasn't it? And they, of course, never got to the point where they really wanted to obey. Instead, they disobeyed. But if you look at Hebrews 4, God says that when we go into the presence of God, we can be comfortable entering His presence, not because of who we are, but because of Christ. Moses was comfortable about entering into the presence of God because he was a type of Christ, but also because he loved God, as we've seen. He wasn't afraid to pray and ask for God to protect Israel, ask for God's presence with Israel, even ask to see the glory of God. Moses and God had a very special relationship. I'm pretty sure it's the only one that God says he spoke with him as a friend face to face. And you and I need to have that attitude. Hebrews 4:15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Look at that word boldly. We can come boldly to the throne of grace because of Jesus. Amen? Because of His blood that's paid for our sins. We can enter the presence of God at any time, any place. We can come boldly to the Holy of Holies in heaven because of Jesus Christ. Does God want us to? Well, we've already looked at all the scriptures. Pray without ceasing. Spake a parable unto this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. We could go on and on, couldn't we? Yes. Why? Why does God want us to pray so much? Because He doesn't know what we want or need? No. Jesus said He already knows what you want and need. But we spend most of our time just asking for stuff, don't we? Not praising Him, not worshiping Him, not thanking Him, but just asking for stuff. That's why Jesus said, stop asking for so much stuff and just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek to spend more time with God and be more like God, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't just spend all your time asking for stuff. Spend more time worshiping, praising, spending time with your Creator. He's the one that's made it possible. Israel couldn't do what we can do. They didn't have the cross. But avail ourselves of that beautiful thing that the world can't do, Israel couldn't do, but you and I can enter the Holy of Holies in heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, boldly. So we need to do it more, and if we'll do it enough, God will begin to rub off on us, amen, and we'll begin to be more like Him, and we'll be like Stephen. We won't be afraid to tell people about Jesus, no matter what the consequences. And our presence, just our presence, will bring conviction to the lost. And maybe conviction to the lukewarm. But His face shone for only one reason, and that's because He had spent so much time in the presence of God. So we need to spend more time in His presence. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this great example from Moses. And Lord, our desire isn't that our face shines, but we definitely desire to spend more time with You and be more like You. So may we pay the price to make that a reality by setting aside the time to spend more time with You and talk to You and fellowship with You and glorify You and praise You. Lord, just that we could be more like You. Make that a reality for each of us. May we not just assent in our minds, but may we show it in our actions. Thank You so much for speaking to our hearts. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray.